She and her husband traveled hours to find a life-affirming fertility clinic, and now she is turning her own journey into a radio show and podcast aimed at helping others who are walking through the challenges of infertility and miscarriage. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger, and this is Hope, Faith, and Infertility, a podcast from Southeastern Fertility in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can find out more about us by going to southeasternfertility.org. Again, that's southeasternfertility.org. And the woman I was speaking of just a moment ago in the intro is Kendra White. She and her husband, Eric, are part of the Southeastern Fertility family here. And great to have you joining me on the podcast today. Kendra, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's so great to be able to talk with like-minded people who believe in life-affirming ways of building families.
Amen. Amen. And I'm really looking forward to talking with you about Hannah's Heart, which is the name of your radio show and podcast. I think our folks could really benefit from this, many of them. So we'll talk about that as the conversation progresses. But let's start with your own journey. I mean, when did your own struggles with infertility begin to manifest?
Yeah. So I am married to an amazing man of God, Eric Knox. We've been married for 3 years now. Now, really, we started having the conversation about children before we got married. And my husband is a paraplegic. He's a T10 spinal cord injury. And so while praying about the relationship, the issue of can he have children? Does he want children? Came up pretty early. Already when you're dating somebody in a wheelchair and you're like, okay, this might affect our life in some ways, but man, he's so cute and I'm falling for him, Lord. He's got those dimples. How do I deal with this? You know, I had a lot of very real and raw conversations with the Lord. And I just love that God's story for each of us is so incredibly different and unique and beautiful. And when I said yes to Eric Knox, it was with the knowledge that, it might be more difficult for us to conceive and have children. And it was something that I felt the Lord's peace saying, yes, I've called you to this man. And it typically is a little more difficult for men with spinal cord injuries to have children. Some can, some cannot, some have no problem. And it was one of those that we wouldn't really have all the answers until we got married and began trying to build our family. So I kind of had to wrestle with the idea of, have I made motherhood and wanting children an idol in my own life in any ways? And it's something that I've desired so much from birth. You know, I've been carrying little baby dolls around and planning to homeschool and the whole nine yards for a very long time. In fact, I even made a short film that was released that was about women that struggle with infertility before I even knew that this was going to be a part of our journey. I knew that the desire to be a mom is something that comes so strongly to us. And the Lord was so patient with me and helping me to just trust him as we started this journey. So we did get married. Eric proposed in a hot air balloon. He went all out. He said if I said no, he was going to throw me out the basket. So that did not happen. Here we are in the first couple months of our marriage. And, you know, my husband, his attitude towards having children was initially he had some fear and some reservations of, can I be a good parent as a father with a disability? Some very raw emotions. And so we processed those while we were dating. And I said, look, I don't know how God's going to bring them to us. I'm open on the whether or not we adopt or they're biological, but I know this, Kendra White needs to have children. This is a calling that God has put in my life. And this is a non-negotiable, you know? And so we kind of had some of those conversations and God did something so beautiful in his heart and realized that he had some fear about how can I be a good parent, that God just really healed some wounds in his life. And once we kind of got over that hurdle and got that ring on our finger and started moving towards marriage, of course, Eric had his timeline of like, we're going to wait a full year before we get started. And then God just got a hold of his heart and was like, nope, nope, that was your idea, not mine. And so it was really just a few months in that we started really actively kind of pursuing having children. And both of us were a little bit older when we got married. I was, I believe, 30 when I met him, 31 when we got married. So course, not ancient, but in the world of fertility, what is it? 34? It's called a geriatric. Am I saying that word right?
Jay, you're saying the word right. I don't know if I don't know if I'm a brave enough man to call 34 geriatric.
Geriatric pregnancy is the technical term. I'm like, that is the most insulting thing ever. I am not ancient. There is no oh my goodness.
You're right.
So we did know that because our story of meeting each other started a little bit later, that that we wanted to not wait too long to have children. And so we started down that road. And of course, any fertility journey is filled with lots of wonderfully awkward moments and trial and error. And we quickly learned that that the good old fashioned way wasn't going to work for us unless the Lord did a miracle. And so we sort of started beginning researching our options. And for men with spinal cord injuries, the issues are often different. And so we found a place that the Lord led us to in Miami called the Miami Project that specifically deals with men with spinal cord injuries and fertility issues. And so we were accepted into their program, which is like any of the research and treatment you get through them is free. So thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Right. But you have to get there. So we flew down to Miami and we were able to do a procedure there. And I'll give you the technical term and I'll leave it to your imagination. It's called electroejaculation. Sure. And yeah. It is not pleasant. It will, not a pleasant procedure at all, but through my husband said, if you're not a praying man, you'll be on your knees by the end of it. So let's just say through this treatment there, we were able to determine that, there might be a path for us to have biological children. And then of course COVID hit and they closed, and there are only so many places in the country that do this kind of treatment for our family. So we began our journey of trying to wait, trust on God. When do we do it? We did try one IUI. Mm-hmm. Flew down to Miami, had to coordinate getting, we had three different doctors. Mine, were based in Tupelo, Mississippi, mine in Tupelo, who was doing the initial part of monitoring, and then his doctor in Miami, and I had to get another fertility doctor in Miami, and all three of them had different languages that were their native language and all of their secretaries. So the language barrier, as well as us being new to this world of fertility treatment, was so overwhelming. It was a lot to process, but had one attempted IUI that was not successful and quickly found that that was not a good option for our family. And then we were told, you know, that IVF is the only option. And we had up to that point really, really prayed about, everybody immediately was trying to point us to IVF before mm-hmm. we tried a lot of other cheaper, more affordable options. And it's pretty frustrating when there's a $40 option that might be available to you that might work and the doctor doesn't suggest that. And we actually had a situation where one of the doctors that immediately pushed us to IVF, he wrote a paper on the $40 option. And like, we picked you because you wrote the paper on the $40 option and you're not even going to tell us about it. So yeah,
welcome to the fertility industry,
right? Learning that there is some money driven and that motivations are not always pure and you have to be your own advocate. And especially if you have a moral dilemma of wanting to see life preserved, you have to ask a lot of questions and you have to be willing to look stupid by saying, we don't want to do it. Oh, that's the most cost-effective way. Yeah, no, pass. We don't want to do that one. So our concerns as far as IVF, we didn't know a whole lot of all of the details, but we knew that, life is often the typical protocol was that, multiple frozen embryos are created. And then there's that question of what do we do with the ones that are left over? And both my husband and I love the Lord. We've been involved in many different pro-life organizations throughout our life. And that was just not an option for us. And I had a moment with the Lord where I was like, it would be very convenient to change what we believe right now. to just kind of go along with this because of this strong desire that I have to have children, but it's not consistent with your word. And I can't do that. And I know that if I'm true to following the Lord, that the true blessings that come are from being in right relationship with him, and he's going to bless our life, and he is going to satisfy the desires of my heart, maybe in ways that I don't imagine, but he is going to do that if we continue to seek him first. So for a little while, it was like we came to this screeching halt of like, IVF's your last option. And we're like, okay, we don't want to do that. And not to mention the price tag on it, yes. It's difficult for any family. And
yes,
you've got the question about like stewardship, and there's other children that need homes and, how do we do this? And so I'm like, my poor, poor husband, I'm a flow chart, pros and cons list person. I had spreadsheets, of all the different options of things we could do throughout this whole journey. But, it wasn't until later that I heard about something called minimal stimulation IVF, and that there are ways to go about the IVF protocol that does not create excess life, that you can do natural cycle IVF or mini stem IVF. And that was completely new to me. No one had mentioned that at all. And I said, okay, well, this could be an option for us. And then to find out that it's actually cheaper than traditional IVF, and yes, you're not paying for as many hormones and medications. For us, it was a perfect fit, as well as you're not having some of the risks of all of that stimulation as well. So we said, let's pray about this. And finding a place that does mini stem is another issue. The clinic that we were working with in Miami, they did not even offer it. And they kind of acted like I was an idiot, like they'd never heard of it. And I was like, no, this is a thing. So I just start Googling it and trying to find clinics near us that do it. And here's how Southeastern and your amazing organization came into our lives. While we're praying about all of these options, a dear family friend of ours, the Hancocks, we learned that they had adopted two snowflake babies. Yes. They had done embryo adoption.
Yes.
And they also had fostered and adopted. And yes, we were considering, we had heard about embryo adoption, but we're very curious about it. And we said, let's just set up a Zoom call with them and ask all our questions. So we just pelted the Hancocks with every question we could imagine. And they said, oh yeah, well, we went to Knoxville and there's this great organization. And so then of course I Googled, and what I loved about Southeastern is their association with your organization and the National Embryo Adoption Donation Center.
Yes.
So I thought, wow, embryo donation center is so pro-life. I must be able to trust these people if they have that perspective. They're not going to laugh at me when I bring up like, oh, I don't want frozen embryos. Like, they're going to actually hear what I'm saying.
Amen. Amen. Well, and then so you didn't know necessarily after looking up the NEDC, and of course, yeah, Southeastern Fertility's medical partners of the NEDC were both located under one roof for people who don't know. Did you know that Southeastern Fertility actually offered and promoted mini stem IVF, natural cycle IVF, that Dr. Gordon, the co-director, was such a big proponent of both?
I found on the website a spreadsheet of all the different treatment options, and it had mini stem and natural IVF that I think in my Google search, even it pulled them up, and I was mm-hmm. like, well, okay, here's someone who does this. And I loved that free consult. The like, oh my gosh, nobody does that. That's like an incredible feature that you can have a free 15 minute. Cause we just had so many questions right off the bat. We're like, before we drive to Knoxville, like
from
Tupelo, Mississippi, do you even like, are we a candidate for what you offer? So that consult was amazing. And then we did end up coming, in person to Knoxville. And, I had told my husband, I said, I think they're Christians on the sly. Like, their website doesn't say they're believers, but there's just these like sneaky little hints that makes me think that maybe, they're believers. And so walking into y'all's office and seeing immediately when you walk in books about trusting God through your infertility journey and tracks and just scripture everywhere. And the doctor, Dr. Gordon had a cross pendant. And I was like, ha, I knew it. I knew it. There's something behind the scenes here that's so special about what they are doing. And my husband and I said, you know, it might be a 6-hour drive, but it is worth it to work with people you trust that have the same values you have. And getting into the world of IVF, you know, sometimes you feel like you have to have a PhD and you have to go back to basic school biology of, you know, what are we doing? They get into stuff like genetic testing and selective, you know, things that you're like, what are you actually saying? And so I really appreciated that in all of my conversations with your staff, they broke down things on my level and were able to answer all of my life issue concerns very thoroughly. And not only did they answer them, but I felt like that was their desire. That was the clinic's desire as well. So it kind of felt like, oh, there's not going to sneakily do something when I'm under and not, I won't know about it, you know.
No, that's for sure. We're definitely not going to do that. And yeah, I mean, we're a life affirming organization on both the NEDC side and the Southeastern Fertility side. And as you mentioned, my main job is with the NEDC. I do some side work like we're doing now for Southeastern Fertility, and happy to do that as well. So yeah, and you know, when you and Eric came into my office to meet me and asked to meet me, which you know, that was just great. And I could just tell from spending a few minutes with two of you, your heart for the Lord and what a great fit for this place you were, and how much we were going to be rooting for you. So you share what you're comfortable with in terms of what your journey with Southeastern Fertility has looked like to this particular point.
Sure. Well, of course, the first step, they have some initial testing, and we discovered that there were some polyps that needed to be removed. And when you've gone through so much already, and you're like, something like that hits you, you're just like, one more thing. It feels like you're running towards this finish line and people keep throwing banana pills at you to slip on, you know, and you're like, oh, one more thing to slow us down. So, but fortunately it was an easy procedure to have done. Just a few more months of waiting. And then we decided, okay, we're going to try this, you know, and trusting the Lord for providing the funds for mini IVF, the Lord brought a lot of unique opportunities into our life that were just God ordained side projects to help pay for our first attempt. Cause you know, that was important to us too. We don't want to go in debt over this. We want to be financially good stewards. So, after a few months of making preparations and saving, we came to Knoxville, and we did not tell our family. We snuck there, took all of our tracking apps, turned them off, and you know, thought, oh, maybe this is, of course it's going to work because we've come so far. This has to work. And unfortunately, we got the news that they said, well, your HCG levels are a little low. Let's come again in 2 days, and came back and discovered essentially that we'd had a chemical pregnancy. So very, very, very early miscarriage. I neglected to mention we had two embryos that were created and transferred. And so, of course, that's devastating. And the way my husband put it, he said, you know, he said, I know we only had them for a handful of days that we knew that those lives even existed. He said, but I had already planned to, you know, teach them how to build a birdhouse, and I was sending them off to college. Like, they were so very real, you know. And one of the things that I think people that struggle with miscarriage feel is you almost feel guilty for grieving a loss that you only had for a few days, because you're like, how is it possible that I've never even met this little tiny human being, and yet I am so grieved? And you know, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he just said, it's because it really is a human being. It really is a person that was in you. And it's only right to feel that loss and that grief. And so, of course, it's difficult to understand with family members, you know, and we heard the information, and I went to our piano, and I was just like, worship is the only thing that I know how to do right now, because I can't even I can't even pray. And so I'm just going to worship and trust God's Holy Spirit to infuse this situation. And he says that he's close to the brokenhearted. And I'll tell you what, Kendra has learned to lean on Jesus in new ways like never before through this experience. And so very scary. And so we had that disheartening news. And then the question of, you know, do we try again? Do we move on to the next option? And it took us a few weeks to just kind of rebound.
Sure.
And we prayed and we've kind of sought the Lord to maybe try one more time. That's where we are kind of right now in our journey. But you know, we've told the Lord this time, we said, okay, not that we were doing it on our own strength before, but we are so emotionally spent.
Yeah.
Like, if this is going to be what you want for us, it's going to have to be you sustaining us through this process. And where I am right now, just to be honest with you, we don't know if this second attempt is going to work or not. But I'm preparing my heart to accept whatever the Lord has for me. And someone asked me recently, they said, how do you pray during all of this time? And you don't know exactly what God's will is for you in the way that he's going to build your family. And I said, this is what I pray. I say, Lord, make me ready to receive whatever you have for me. If that's a biological child and you're preparing my womb to receive what you have for me, then do that, Lord. If it's fostering or adoption or, you know, some outside of the box way of allowing this nurturing thing that has been in me since childhood to come out, make me willing and ready to accept that. So lots of real conversations with the Lord. It's one thing to say that you trust him. It's another thing to be in the fire and to trust him. And, you know, a couple scriptures just that have really ministered to me in this season of my life, you know, going just to the Psalms, a lot of different Psalms, but one, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And realizing that that death doesn't have to be your own physical death, but if you're afraid of miscarriage, even in the valley of the shadow of death, God will be with you. He promises not to leave you. Sometimes dealing with the death of another person is even more difficult, especially a child. Another scripture in Psalms, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And this was really helpful for me in our IVF cycle, because the minute that that egg is fertilized and conception takes place, that's life. That is a human being.
Right.
And recognizing that, I don't know, you know, you have those days where you're waiting for the transfer and the embryologist calls you every few days and says, okay, it went from 4 cells to 8. We're at 16 cells. And then they give you like the gradings of all the cells. And you're just like, I mean, you can't even breathe waiting for the phone call to come, you know, it's just like, and you try to be all cool while you like, you know, get your husband in on the call real quick. And you're like, yeah, no, we're cool. Or we're not waiting for you to call for the last 3 hours, like on the end of our seats. But yeah, you know, every day ordained for that child is ordained by the Lord. And the fact that he holds them in his hands was so helpful and precious to me to know that I don't know how many days, and none of us are guaranteed anything, you know,
right.
For those that bring a child full term and you know, they live on this earth. You do not know how many days that you will have that blessing that God gives to you. So better to, like Hannah in the Bible, surrender whatever blessing God gives you back to the Lord from the get-go, because realizing that children are really a blessing from God, but they are his.
They're his. That's exactly right. They are his. You hold them loosely. You take the stewardship of parenting them seriously, mm-hmm. but they are his. And this is so good. Hearing you talk about the need to align your desires and ability to accept things with God's will for you, whatever that is. You know, I pray that often for our NEDC and Southeastern people who have gone through either a miscarriage or a failed frozen embryo transfer. That's so key You know, not only is it important that they get comfort in the moment and healing for the short term, but that in the long term, they get guidance. And part of that guidance is the ability to align with whatever God has deemed best. And it's not always easy. Rarely is it easy for any of us to accept what that is.
And there are those moments when you might have to take your dream and let it go and surrender it to God. And that is so scary. But one thing that I love that we can take to the bank is that God says that if we delight in him, then he will give us the desires of our heart. Not that he will give us everything we've ever desired or wanted, but that he will place his desires for our life in our heart. And I was praying about this because I thought, Lord, if this is the end of our journey and I go, you know, towards fostering or adoption, I move on to a different option. I want to be okay with it. I hope I'm going to be okay with it. Am I going to be okay with it, Lord? You're wrestling with these questions of, am I going to have a right attitude towards you, Lord? And God just told me, if you delight in me, you're not going to have to fake it. Whatever blessing I give you, abundant joy, you got to trust me. You got to trust that I have the ability to pour into your heart a new desire if that's my plan and to redirect. And in my redirecting, it's not a second best. It's God's best. And that is what I ultimately want from the beginning.
He can do us no wrong, even in the death of a dream. And we don't always feel it in the moment, but that is where we have to let our feelings sometimes catch up with what we know to be true. You know, so gosh, what a journey. And of course, we'll be praying for you as the next steps unfold, and that goes without saying. You mentioned Hannah, and it's a good segue to the other thing that I wanted to talk about before we close it out, and that is Hannah's heart. This new project that you're working on. I want you to talk about, you know, where the idea came from, what Hannah's heart. I mean, you just started it literally within the last 2 or 3 weeks, so it's just getting going. But I think it's really going to be a tremendous resource for a lot of couples. Tell me about it.
Yes, thank you. So I am an employee of American Family Association, and they have a division, American Family Radio, and radio stations all across the U.S. and internationally through our app. And a few months ago, an opportunity to be a part of this project came up. There's another coworker, Ann Cockrell, that I work with, and she's been struggling with infertility for over 6 years, I believe. And you know, we've just been recognizing that couples who struggle with this have so many feelings of isolation. Who do I talk to about this? How do I process this? And specifically, how do you process these issues biblically? So you've got issues like infertility affects marriages. Oh my goodness. Couples have split over this issue.
Sure.
So you've got that. You've got the financial issue of like, how do we not go crazy? And, you know, like literally have to be paying this off when we're 120, you know, like how do you keep your priorities? How do you not make children an idol? How do you deal with miscarriage and those feelings of God, why do you allow bad things to happen to believers who love you? Those are some very raw moments with God, not to mention some of the issues we talked about today of some of the medical ethical dilemmas of how is life being created if you're considering IVF. And we wanted there to be a platform to help couples process those things. And already having American Family Radio as our parent organization was so great. And we came to them with this idea. And we thought like, they're going to be like, you kiddos, go work on it for 4 years and come back to us when you're grown up, you know. But they were so welcoming. And they said, absolutely, this is great. What do you need? Let us help you. How can we equip you to help couples that are hurting? And so, yes, we air on Saturdays at 5 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. You can also find the podcast page on afr.net. As well as we're on YouTube and Facebook or Meta, whatever they're going to call it now.
Yeah, right.
And Instagram. So search for Hannah's Heart. And the name Hannah, my awesome coworker Anne discovered her story when she was studying the different women in the Bible who have struggled with infertility. And what we specifically liked about Hannah was that she brought her, and this is for those that aren't familiar with the story, Hannah is the mother of Samuel,
yes.
One of the prophets, and she went to the temple and was just heartbroken and was just crying her eyes out to the Lord. And she was praying and her lips were moving and her eyes were closed, but there wasn't any sound coming out. And so the priest that heard her thought she was drunk, right? Like, and he was like, "Hey, you need to stop drinking." And she's like, no, I'm not drunk. I just desperately desire this child." And so they have this encounter and he says, "You know, you will have a child, go back home." And she had in her prayer to the Lord said, "Lord, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. And I will dedicate him to be yours." And so, you know, Hannah's story, not all of our endings are the same of whether or not God does answer your plea for a biological child. But I think we can all learn from Hannah's story that God is where you take your pain. You don't run from him in a time of turmoil. You bring it to the Lord and you surrender your desires completely over to him. And you say, "Lord, whatever you do for me, I'm going to dedicate it back to you."
It's a wonderful note on which to end this conversation. Kendra White has been my guest. Again, she and her husband, Eric, part of the Southeastern Fertility family here. We're so glad that you found us, that you talked to the Hancocks, who are very good friends, whose living room I have been in at least once or twice. They're terrific. So it's amazing how God puts the connections together. And
Me just say, yeah, if you listen long enough to Hannah's Heart, you might just hear a special guest. We had Mark on our program. Of course, we pre-record, so it won't be out for a few months, but we had him on to talk about embryo donation or embryo adoption and all of that. And you were one of my favorite interviews that we've had so far to date. So thank you.
Well, you are kind, and it was an honor to be on it. So again, it's Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio on Saturdays, and you can also find them. You just type in Hannah's Heart, on any of the search features on Facebook, on Instagram. Very easy to find. Follow them, like them, and then they'll show up in your feed. I think it'll do your heart a lot of good to discover Hannah's Heart. Well, Kendra, again, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have you with us. Sister, I'm Mark Mellinger. You can find out more about Southeastern Fertility and its work by going to southeasternfertility.org. Again, that's southeasternfertility.org. This has been Hope, Faith, and Infertility.